CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Friday. Claude, do you have a song for us?
None are really coming to mind. Oh, wait. Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. That's right, everyone. We made it to the end of a treacherous week, the first week back for a lot of people at work after the Christmas and holiday season. You did it. You did it. Congratulations. It's only 11 a.m., but go grab a drink.
For sure, go grab a drink. I keep forgetting that it's Friday, and every time I remember, I'm like, wow, what a treat. It doesn't feel like Friday for me because I had, you know, a really unstructured week. Mm-hmm. But it's Friday no matter how you slice it, no. And I'm really so thrilled.
Do you know what the best feeling is? Is like, I'm not saying that you did this, but like there are certain weeks where like you slack off or like you call in sick, and then you get a Friday, and like you don't really feel like you deserve it, but like it still counts.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. But it also makes up for all those other Fridays where you worked so hard and Friday did not come fast enough.
Rebecca Black was just taking her time.
It all comes out in the wash.
It does. So congratulations to everyone listening for, first of all, for having amazing taste in podcasts. And second of all, making it to Friday. We're so proud of you.
We're so proud of you. We're so proud of ourselves. And I am proud of myself. I'm just going to give a little smoothie cleanse update.
Oh, please do. I'm actually curious to know, like, you didn't eat. Like, what is that like? Can't relate.
Okay, well, you eat. You make a big smoothie in the morning. You ration it out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But you can snack on fruits and veggies throughout the day.
Oh, so it's like unlimited, it's okay. Technically?
Like, yeah, she never uses the word unlimited in her book, but, she, you know,
within reason.
Like, grab a snack.
Yeah.
But, so yesterday I was actually doing really good, and I figured, like, it's the first day, it's probably the easiest because I still have all that pasta in my belly from the night before, you know? But then around, like, 8 o'clock, I got the worst migraine of all time. Like, of all the migraines I've ever got, this one was the absolute worst, and, like, I had to go to sleep at like 8:45, so I had to watch Southern Charm in the morning because I couldn't look at like any lights. I tried my magical pills and they didn't work while I was awake, but while I slept, I woke up feeling like so much better. Mm-hmm. But like if that happens again, I don't know if I'll be able to push through and continue with this journey. But I do think it's just my body going through withdrawals. Like, where's the sugar? Where's the processed foods? Where's the caffeine?
Well, I can say, like, I get migraines a lot. And two of my triggers, one are, like, lack of sleep. By, like, 4 o'clock, like, I will be dead migraine central. And then also, on the very rare occasion, like, I forget to eat. That is a trigger for my migraines. So, like, I don't know. You might be in trouble.
No, I know. But maybe that was just like it passing through the first time. I just want to say, like, if this is happening every night, like, I'm going to have to stop the smoothie cleanse because it's torture. And I just felt so bad for Sweets. Like, I couldn't really be there for him last night in the way that he needed me to be because, like, mommy was sick.
Yeah, no, honestly, like, when your juice cleanse starts affecting your ability to parent, I just think it's something to talk about, you know, with your family.
I completely agree. So I just want to say, like, I have every intention of keeping this up, but, like, it might be beyond my control if that happens again.
No, I understand.
So, that's where I'm at. I have today's smoothie looks even grosser than yesterday's, does it not?
Yeah, that's really fucking chunky. And not to, like...
The color is...
No, the color is, like, reminiscent of something I have dropped in a toilet on a day where I just wasn't feeling well.
Stop.
Well... Congrats. Like, we're really proud of you here. We're supporting you. We're doing what the book says.
And what's really exciting is that if all goes according to plan, like, by Monday, the next time you guys hear from me about this, I'll be on day 5. Like, I'll be halfway through.
Yeah. For us, that's exciting. Easy. For you, like, good luck with the weekend.
I know. But I'm just going to try and sleep a lot. I started Bridgerton. I only got to episode 3 before the migraine forced me to turn off my television.
Tell me what you think about it, though.
So I just think it's like so awesome.
Isn't it gorgeous?
It's gorgeous. Like, it's just like this utopian world, and it's just so beautiful, stunning, and smart, honestly. In the first episode, I just felt like I was going to have trouble getting into it because my heart wasn't in it yet. Yeah. But fear not, because Bridgerton, like, will bring your heart into it.
Yeah, no, and Lady Whistledown just, like, knows how to lure you in.
Yeah, Lady Whistledown, like, I'm really excited to find out who she is. I'm assuming that's, like, a big storyline.
Well, you'll see. I don't want to. Maybe she does,
don't,
maybe she doesn't.
Don't tell me anything. But anyways, it's really good and just like some actual premium content when like we watch so much garbage.
Yeah. And like in the last, you know, 6 to 8 months, I think we've really lowered our bar for what we consider premium content just because we're so bored and we've watched everything on television. And Bridgerton was like a reset back to my old standards. Like, this is phenomenal acting, gorgeous scenery, amazing storylines. Like, everything about it is premium 10 out of 10. And we haven't had that in a while because we've just been like lowering our bar to watch things like Emily in Paris, you know?
Yes, I do know.
Even though the more I've sat with Emily in Paris, like, I kind of miss her.
No, I don't miss her one bit. Like, the more I sit and think about her, like, the more upset I am.
Yeah.
By, like, all of the potential of that show, and then it was just squandered.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say Emily in Paris. I meant to say Emily in Paris.
Oh, LOL.
So we have an amazing show for you guys today, obviously. Not much happened in the world of celebrity pop culture, but there were a few things we need to talk about. And last night's Southern Charm, which I was feeling really conflicted about my feelings. You know when you feel a certain way about a show and, like, you want to feel the other way, but, like, you just can't get yourself to feel that way? And I feel like maybe the way that I feel is kind of unpopular.
Ooh, but that would be new for us.
Yeah, I just, like, cannot find it in my heart to, like, support Danny Baird. She's so hard to, like, champion.
I totally agree. And I totally agree.
You know, I'll get into it. I don't want to, like, start a spiral, but, like, she was bothering me so much.
I know, because, like, she's had, like, a few opportunities to really, like, say what she needs to say and make
and get it out there.
Like,
and, by the way,
like, do something.
She's had months to, like, script to herself, like, what she wants to say to Catherine. And what came out was just, like, not English.
No, like, and the first time on the beach that she tried, it was just, like, a travesty.
Her emotions, you know what, I actually...
The second time, like, she wound up saying words, but, like, I can't imagine that's what she meant to say because that's not a reason to not speak to your friend.
100%. Like, I'm sorry you feel lonely. That's an offensive to me. No, it's like, I'm sorry you feel lonely, period. Like, what can I do to help? Like, it was just, we'll get into it, and that whole day was just, like, an absolute torture chamber. Like, it looked horrible.
Oh my god, that was it was scary island.
Yeah. But before that, Jackie and I have a fabulous show planned for you guys where we just intend to be hilarious. So if you would let us do that, I think it might be time
to deliver the fast side stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
I'm feeling really
nauseous.
Do you want to pause? I'm feeling really nauseous. Oh my god. I think I'm going to hurl. Today's episode is brought to you by Bruche.
These are getting, like, grosser.
I fucking love Bruche. Everyone knows we love Bruche. I went to the dentist and she was like, your brushing is amazing. Are you using an electric toothbrush? And I said, yes, doc, it's the Bruche, which is the best electric toothbrush on the market for a multitude of reasons. One, I think it's the most reasonably priced. Two, it's so beautiful. I've seen some ugly, like, bulky electric toothbrushes that sit on your counter and just, like, take up space. But you're going to want to have this Bruche on your countertop because it's sleek. It comes in a variety of colors. We have the pink one, a magnetic charging station that's just, like, elegant, very Elon Musk. I feel like he was very influential in the design of the Bruche.
100%.
So the brush itself has 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience. It also has a 4-week battery life with a magnetic charging stand and a compact travel case. The battery lasts forever. So, like, if you're going on a trip for even, like, 2 weeks, you don't have to bring the charger. They also offer a subscription program, so you can never forget to change your brush head because they'll ship you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn-down brush head. The sleek design of the electric toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design, and it comes in trend-driven seasonal colors and looks great on your bathroom counter. Agreed. Bruche is redefining what it means to have a perfect smile because a healthy smile is a perfect smile, 100%. So if you want to get 15% off your Bruche, check out the toothbrush kit, which is great for travel and just has everything you need in the kit. You can use the promo code TOAST at Bruche.com. Bruche is spelled Bruush.com, and that promo code again is TOAST for 15% off. Again, that's 15% off using promo code TOAST at Bruush.com. One of our favorites here. Check it out.
Check it out. Okay, first story. Jeffree Star is shutting down those Kanye West dating rumors for once and for all.
I knew it.
Jeffree Star is just as shocked by those rumors as you all are. The beauty influencer finally revealed the truth about the viral TikTok video that claimed he was having an affair with Kanye, even though the rapper remains married to Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
He posted a tell-all video on YouTube yesterday called Addressing the Kanye Situation, in which he called the allegations, quote, the dumbest shit I've ever read in my life. He said, I woke up and my phone was blowing up and I'm like, oh my God, what in the scandal is going on today? I honestly had no idea, right? I'm keeping to myself. I'm living in this beautiful state. I'm loving life. He said he got a million texts and phone calls and inquiries from news outlets about the rumors, and he shut them down saying, I'm single. I'm not sleeping with anyone. I like very tall men. Me and Kanye have never hung out, and this whole thing is really funny.
Okay, well, obviously, I think we said that yesterday. Like, I never for 1 minute thought that this particular rumor was true, especially when Jeffree posted that Instagram about Sunday service, like, obviously playing into the rumors and, like, wanting just to, like, get some clout before he cleared it up, which I totally understand and respect. I never thought this was true. I do think this is, like, a funny pop culture saga, but I do think it's strange how, like, in one, this whole rumor started really because of this TikTok that went, like, completely viral. And this girl mm-hmm. who went viral on TikTok is known for being, like, a prankster, a troublemaker. She's the girl who licked the toilet bowl and then, like, got coronavirus, remember?
Oh, God.
So it's, like, no. I hate that you can just, like, say something on the internet, regardless of what it is. It could be something good about someone, bad about someone, defamatory, and, like, it just picks up steam and becomes truth. Like, there's a part of me that, like, although this is funny, like, feels very unethical.
Yeah, I feel that, like, that it just, without any burden of proof, like, just became the fact. And if Jeffree hadn't spoken out about it, like, we might, and if he hadn't posted that Sunday service thing to begin with, and then this video, like, I think people would still very much be wondering if it was true. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think he handled it perfectly in terms of, like, you know, the post and the video. Like, he got an extra YouTube video up.
Yeah.
That's, like, really funny. And imagine, like, waking up and, like, reading this about yourself that's completely untrue.
Yeah.
And it's, well, just like, what in the world?
So now there's another beauty guru, Cole Carrigan, who's, like, a big male beauty influencer, who is coming onto TikTok saying, like, you know, the rumors about Kanye dating a beauty guru are true. It's just not Jeffree Star. And he's, like, posting various receipts, like, of Kanye's bodyguard texting him, saying, like, yeah, he wants to meet, sending him an NDA. This guy seems, like, so thirsty, like, the opposite of Jeffree, like, literally chasing this clout. I don't know what to believe. I don't really believe it because they...
So this guy's saying it's, like, himself?
Right, like, this rumor about Kanye, you know, hooking up with a beauty guru was true. It just wasn't Jeffree Star. It was this guy, Cole.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's so thirsty because, like...
But I understand the thirst. Like, I'm literally about to make a TikTok saying, like, it was me.
It was me.
Yeah, like, I'm the beauty guru.
Yeah. Well, no, because either it's, like, totally untrue or, like, he was having a relationship with Kanye and just sold him down the river.
Right. And they do say that, like, you know, every rumor has, like, an ounce of truth to it. So, like, maybe this was just really misconstrued in the Jeffree Star rumor and they just got their beauty gurus confused.
Yes, or maybe, like, the term beauty guru is very, you know, flexible. And I'll tell you who is a beauty guru. Kim Kardashian.
Wow, yes. And you know what? I feel, like, a little weird talking about this story because as much as it's, like, salacious gossip, at the end of the day, if any of it is true, you are outing someone. And that feels wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop talking about it now.
Okay, well, that's great because we're moving on. Kim Kardashian attends Bible study amid impending divorce from Kanye. So, like, one, this headline makes me think, like, oh, my God, she's seeking out a new church because she's leaving Kanye. But then the story is based on an Instagram story that she posted saying, when Kourtney Kardashian and I show up matching in our Skims to Bible study.
No, I think it's crazy that, like, people's Instagram stories become worldwide news. But Kim hasn't said much of anything or posted anything since these conversations started happening. So I do believe this to be noteworthy. Like, all she's been doing is posting workouts and now Bible study. And that does seem like the life of someone who's going through a divorce.
But she's always been super religious. I just feel like there's, in the fact that she's going to Bible study at once makes me think, like, she's switching churches because her husband has a church.
Right.
But then it's like, she probably, I feel like a lot of times when people are going through something, they like start posting Bible quotes or whatever, or it's just like a nice thing to post in general. And it's like, now she can't even post about the Bible.
Well, it's been, I've never been to like a Bible study for like a church because I'm obviously Jewish. But if I learned anything from Bible study, when Tamara Judge went on Real Housewives of Orange County, it really doesn't have much to do with your church. So it couldn't have anything to do with leaving Kanye's church. I think it's like when women are, I think it's like usually like groups of women get together like with their friends and study Bible, like share verses, like what they've learned. I don't think you necessarily need like a pastor.
100%.
So she could still be a part of Kanye's church.
So what, at the end of the day, like this is a nothing burger.
Oh, it's the biggest nothing burger with lettuce, tomato, and cheese.
And a sprinkle of whatever sauce.
And a little Beyond Meat.
Yum.
Yum. I just wanted to make it so that you could eat it.
Oh my God, thank you, but I'll eat it in 9 days.
She's not giving us anything, and there will be a moment where she talks. And until then, like, any news from, like, you'll never believe what Kim Kardashian liked on Instagram. Like, I will not be taking that as gospel until I just hear straight from the queen's mouth. We are the sorry people. We are the sorry people. She is the queen. Like, we can 100%. Sturm and drang all we want, but until the queen speaks to the sorry people, I have nothing to say.
I agree. I totally agree. I just want, like, yeah, I agree. Moving on.
Yeah, can I just say one thing about today and yesterday's episode?
Sure.
Because I realized yesterday, like, I was really, like, talking a lot more. I mean, I always talk a lot and, like, talk over you, but I think more than usual. And I felt myself doing it today already, but I just need to say it's because for Tuesday and Wednesday, like, I was really just, like, driving the ship and, like, trying to be funny and then also, like, move things along with Ben and, like, you know, make sure Ben doesn't say anything crazy. So I'm just, like, coming out of that pattern, and I apologize in advance to you and the listeners.
No worries. I hadn't noticed, honestly. I felt like I said a lot yesterday, too.
Oh, good. Okay, okay. I felt like I was, like, just stomping all over everyone.
I didn't notice.
But that's how I feel just, like, every day.
It's good. My smoothie cleanse is making me, like, so tired. I won't even put up a fight.
I'll pick up where you drop off.
Okay. And by the way, my smoothie cleanse, like, actually isn't making me tired. I feel the same.
I'm just going to say the whites of your eyes look, like, exactly the same.
Stop. Okay, you're going to see me
on
Monday.
But it's only day one. It's only day one.
You're going to see me on Monday, and we're going to see. Because, like, it is only day one, and I feel like by Monday, my body will be like, oh, something's different.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bruce was the only sponsor of today's episode, so I would be remiss, devastated, and heartbroken if I didn't take this opportunity to promote my book, which comes out so fucking soon, you guys. January 26th. Pre-order is available. And I know some of you might be waiting to order on the week of, and that's totally fine, but for a new author, some of you might not know this, pre-order numbers need to be, like, really strong in order to get into bookstores, like Barnes & Noble. They'll put me at the back, like, if nobody buys my book. So I just could really appreciate all the love on the pre-order. And if you're looking to buy an ebook or an audiobook or the hardcover, they're all available for pre-order. And if you want the links, it's girlwithnojob.com/book. It's a fabulous book, a lighthearted laughter, a joyous occasion, a funny book, a sentimental book, a quite emo book sometimes. I think you'll really enjoy it. And I think if you still have some questions about, you know, who is Claudia? Like, what is she all about? Like, anything you want answered is answered in the book. Like, once and for all, it's all put in there. So check it out. girlwithnojob.com/book.
Love it. Okay, next story. A little TNN Queen news.
TNN making news.
Real Housewives of New Jersey's Margaret Joseph says her husband was hospitalized after the entire family got COVID. In a recent Instagram video, Joseph's and her Caviar Dreams Tuna Fish Budget podcast co-host Lexi Barbudo.
Yes, ooh, Margaret.
Ooh. I know. But the news is sad.
Yeah.
Shared that they had been offline in recent weeks due to their COVID-19 diagnosis. Quote, we've been MIA and we've had COVID, the entire family. We didn't want to talk about it during Christmas because who wants to talk about COVID during Christmas?
Fair.
She added before sharing that they have all since tested negative and are better now.
But Joe Benigno was in the hospital, which is like so scary. Love Margaret so much. If you want to hear more about her journey through all of this, she did a big podcast episode on her podcast, which is on our podcast network. So check it out. It's called Caviar Dreams, Tuna Fish Budget with Margaret Josephs. But I love Margaret. She's a PJOM. And so is Joe. And I just like,
I am.
COVID's like so crazy. But also, like when you hear about someone older getting it, like it really puts into perspective like how scary it can be. And you know who else was in the hospital for COVID is Deandra from Real Housewives of Dallas.
Yes, I saw that.
I believe she's out now, but she was there for a long time. It's really scary. Like,
that is so scary.
And just sending prayers her way and Margaret's way. Margaret's a queen, and of course she beat COVID. She's a queen.
Yeah, totally. I'm really happy to hear the good news, and it's very like big of them to speak about it, you know?
Yeah. I feel like a lot of
who wants to.
Right, exactly. I think a lot of people are like struggling privately with COVID because there's like so much shame associated with catching it, even though it's like a pandemic.
Right, right.
Right, that's why it's so bad. It's like crazy contagious.
Yeah. No, it's really crazy, but we love her. I love Margaret. Reading like about her and thinking about her again, like I'm really excited for Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yes. And you know, a lot of things are coming to an end. I've realized, I feel like our Housewives Bravo plate has been so full, but now Potomac's over. Next week is OC reunion. Next week, OC finale. Next week is Southern Charm finale. So I feel like some things are just like the books are like the chapters are closing.
Yes, but I also feel like Bravo has been inundating us with Housewives and like everybody's plates are full. And I just read that the premiere numbers for Real Housewives of Dallas were really shitty.
I read that too.
And I think, and
no,
by
Jackie,
the way,
we didn't read it. We both follow Christian Grey Snow on Instagram.
Yes, so that's where I read it.
Yeah.
I read it there.
Yeah. You made it sound like you read like the TV articles.
No, I will, like we said, I will never understand how ratings work and how many people watch a show, so I just need someone to break it down.
So I think 0.334 is like 300,000 people.
No, I think so too. That one seemed clear.
That's crazy low because like Beverly Hills in Atlanta get like 2 million.
No, I know, but I think, I mean, one, maybe Dallas has a problem, but two, I think people are just really housewife fatigued right now.
Yeah.
And to come into the new year, like right off the heels of Potomac reunion and like all these other shows with a new franchise, like we need a fucking break.
Yeah.
And I just watched the premiere of Dallas and I thought it was so good.
Me too.
And so it's not the quality of the show that's suffering. I think their programming, like they need to get their foot off the gas a little bit because I am struggling to keep up.
I think it's just
and it's my job. So imagine if you were watching for leisure, like at a certain point, it's no longer leisurely.
No, not at all. And I think a lot of it has to do with like so much of production being halted because of COVID. And now like everything's just like catching up and it definitely feels heavier in the last, you know, 5-6 months than it ever has. Like, I don't remember ever having like this much Bravo to watch every night, sometimes 2-3 hours.
Yeah. So I think if they're having like ratings issues, it's that.
Yeah. And like now Dallas is like,
down.
Dallas is now coming on like after OC, after Beverly Hills, after Potomac, after Atlanta. It's like enough already.
Yeah. So I think that like, that's why it didn't do well, but that's just my 2 cents.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Okay, ready for our next story?
Yes.
Amazon is shuttering Prime Pantry, an early online grocery initiative.
That's very sad. I use them all the time.
I know, but you know what I use now instead? I realized Prime Now, which gives you your groceries like now.
You know what I use, which is probably why Prime Pantry closed down because I was their like only customer. Uber Eats, at least in Manhattan and I think a few other major cities, has a groceries capability. So like how you would normally order takeout, you can order groceries from local grocery stores. And it's crazy fast. Under 90 minutes, delivery, $3.99. Like, that's unbeatable.
That's unbeatable. So I feel like this, like, e-grocery is really the new competitive market. And Amazon is reorganizing their portfolio because Prime Pantry will now be like folded into just like the general Amazon.com. But now that I think about Prime Pantry, it's like, I don't want my groceries coming through the mail.
No, I like when it's like a local courier service.
Yeah, of course. Like, I don't need my eggs in a cardboard box.
No, but to be honest, like, I feel when you said that like grocery delivery is going to be like the new competitive market, I feel like people for years have been like trying to figure it out. Like, Instacart was like a good one, but then they still do it, but they do like, now they're like a Postmates. Like, no one can really nail grocery delivery in major cities. And I don't know why. And I think the closest I've come to like the perfect formula is the Uber Eats grocery delivery. I'm afraid that like people don't use it and it'll be shut down. So like, please use it. And it's also a great way to support local grocery stores.
Yes, definitely. And I think Prime Now is the same thing. I actually just used Prime Now the other day, and I actually need more groceries for my cleanse. I think I'll do Uber Eats grocery.
Yeah, try it out and let me know what you think. It's funny because
I know I've done it before. I just, like, have forgotten about it.
Right.
You know?
It's funny because I feel like in quarantine, there's definitely created more of a demand for grocery delivery. You know, people trying to limit their, you know, time spent outside of their home and exposing themselves. But like for me, like I literally hate going to the grocery store. Like I have been in search of a grocery delivery service like since I was 12.
But not for me.
So I feel like now is a great time to just like be me. You know?
Yeah, I know. That's my favorite TikTok sound, by the way, you guys.
Call an ambulance. Call an ambulance.
Call an ambulance. but not for me.
Iconic.
That's, yeah. Not a lot of them, like, resonate with me, especially since I'm not really up with the TikToks anymore, but that one is premium sound.
You're not a talker?
I'm not a talker. But you never know. Like, she could always come back.
You know, I literally went viral on TikTok the other day. It's like nothing better. No feeling
what
greater.
What were you doing? What were you doing there?
That is a good question. Oh, I'm FaceTiming you, so I can't see my phone. But my friend's one went crazy viral. Oh, and then the girl in the bikini and then, like, me eating a Chipwich. Did you see that?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
Iconic. The people of TikTok love me. But, like, I'm crawling to 100,000. Literally, for the last 6 months, I've taken to go to from 90 to 100K. Please follow me on TikTok, you guys. Girl with no job. Like, I need the love.
You just got to do something, like, big and bold.
But, like, I've gone since literally I've been trying to hit 100K, I've gone viral, like, 4 times. And one of them was really big. Like, the Friends one was, like, 800,000 views. But, like, yeah, I just can't get followers. It's crazy. Like, I'm at 97. Like, I just want to get to 100 so I could be legitimate.
Oh, you'll get there.
And stop being embarrassed, like, with my digital friends, you know, who have, like, 5 million.
Do you have digital friends who have 5 million on TikTok?
I mean, I like to think that I do, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if, like, I could, like, name anyone, but I definitely feel like I have a friend or two who has so many TikTok followers, for sure.
Who's big on the top.
Well, you know what? Actually, Francesca Ferrago from Too Hot to Handle is, like, big on TikTok, and I just got added to her close friend story, so I think that counts.
Okay, we're going to take it.
We're going to take the win.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Yes. Yes, I am.
It's a little rebranding news because Burger King's identity is getting a whopper of a refresh with its first new logo in more than 20 years. Using colors inspired by its real and delicious food, the fast food chain unveiled on Thursday a retro-influenced new identity that includes a redesigned yet recognizable logo and new food packaging.
Jackie.
Yeah, I saw the...
When you said this is a little rebrand news, you really meant little. Like, this is the most insignificant... Guys, Google it. You will see these two logos are mirror images of another. Like, there's...
No, but here's the thing. When I saw the new logo, I was like, what's changed? Now I'm looking at the old logo and the new logo side by side, and there are a lot of changes. And I feel like that is the actual perfect rebrand, where it's like, it doesn't feel unfamiliar to the customer, but we've updated it a little bit. Because now I'm looking at the before, and I'm like, that is so retro. Like,
yeah, well, I do think it's crazy that Burger King is still using that... Well, up until, like, today, we're using that crazy logo because when I think of that logo, I think of, like, literally the Burger King in the town where we grew up in the 90s. Like, that's when I think of, and I actually never realized, like, how old school it was.
Yeah, this new logo is, like, reminding me more of, like, some of the other fast food chains, like just this, like, retro vibe, like Whataburger.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so interesting. Look at them side by side because... I can just see, like, the people in the room having these conversations about what these logos connote.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, when they're like, the colors reflect the natural ingredients of all of our products. Like, please.
And, you know, no, but when I saw this logo, I was like, wow, they use natural ingredients.
No, that was the first thing that came to your mind, right?
100%.
So I guess that means that's a successful rebrand.
I feel like I'm in a focus group.
You know what's
like,
so funny?
Like, giving my opinion.
Is, like, in terms of food, I feel like, fast food restaurants serve, like, essentially, like, chemicals and shit. Like, it's really not sophisticated. But from a marketing standpoint, they're, like, the most sophisticated businesses, like, in the country. Like, they're constantly winning awards for, like, marketing, their commercials, their influencer partnerships. Like, it is just, like, 5 out of 5, so high quality, so sophisticated for, like restaurants that literally serve, like, poison. Delicious poison.
Totally. But it's crazy.
It's crazy. And also, I don't know if you listened to the episode, but Ben and I did a little fast food news. KFC is testing out Beyond Meat chicken, fried chicken.
Wow.
Yeah. It kind of sounded gross. There.
No. I'll be there.
Okay.
That's what I like about, the Impossible and Beyond Meats. It's like, meat can be kind of gross sometimes, and you never know, like, what kind of bite you're going to get.
That's true.
When it's fake meat, like, you don't have that worry of, like, what the fuck did I just chomp into?
No, like, was that dog? Sometimes yeah, like, I'm eating, like... No,
or was that, like, bone or joint?
Yeah, no, I feel that. Is that someone's finger? Like, I feel that 100%.
No. I'm not even talking about, like, extraneous ingredients that could have been put into the mix.
Oh, I am.
Because that could happen with Beyond Meat, too.
Oh, I'm talking about,
like, the like bits of animal where it's like, I just ate someone's joint.
No, like, did you ever see the person who went to Buffalo Wild Wings and got a beak? And he happened, he happened to be like a famous NHL player, and he tweeted them like, what the fuck? You look in the bucket of chicken and there's literally like a head.
Stop. Stop.
Google it, you guys. Stop. It's insane.
Right. So like, that's just one thing you won't get with, you know, fake meat. And that's another reason why I like it.
Yeah. I feel like the worst thing you could get, like a piece of shrapnel, would be like the plastic that like the Beyond Meat like comes in.
Yeah. And also when I've been like cooking with, Beyond Meat ingredients, it's like, if I don't cook it all the way through, like, it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas with meat, it's very, that's why I hate cooking with meat. It's very scary. You could really do some damage.
And you could do some damage, yes.
No, 100% with, like, working with raw meat. And so I like the fact, obviously, I still want to cook it through, but even if I didn't, like, it would just taste gross. Like, yeah. I'd be okay, though.
You want to get salmonella.
Right, hopefully.
So let's dive into our TV recap segment. Southern Charm was on last night, and our TV recap segment is brought to you by our Patreon. What is Patreon, you ask? It is our subscription service. So if you love The Toast 5 days a week for $0, you can pay $7.99 a month to get 5 extra episodes from Jackie and I. The episodes are podcasts, they're videos, sometimes we do radio, they're very controversial episodes. they're anything you want. So that $7.99 gets you 5 extra episodes. It's a great way to support The Toast. And then in exchange for the money, you get the 5 episodes and access to our Facebook group, which is The Toast After Dark, which is a premium group only for our premium members who pay for Patreon. Thank you to everyone who has been supporting the Patreon in the last few months. We really, really appreciate it. And we hope you've been enjoying the content. Can't wait to see what happens for the Patreon in 2021.
Big things. I mean, I at least know for me that I'm doing my home tour soon.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, I might even have it in time for January. So head over to patreon.com/morningtoast.
All right, let's do Southern Charm. It wasn't, thankfully, when I went to my DVR, there wasn't like 4 episodes for me to catch up on from winter break. They spared us. But it does feel like next week being the finale is really soon.
It does feel soon, but I think also they just had a hard time filming. Like, they had started filming in March, and then they skipped forward to May. I just think that they're, like, it's a weird season.
Yeah. Well, this episode was actually really good because that dinner party that Madison threw, at first I was like, this is a fabulous, socially distant COVID dream. Like, outside, no one around you, this gorgeous tent, sitting on the floor, feels like we're in Marrakesh. They, like, whatever company did this event, like, that was a great commercial for them. But the event itself, like, immediately turned into a torture fest. Like, Austin was in the worst mood. I don't even know why he came. Pringle was just, like, being put in the middle of him and Madison, even though, like, I kind of, like, love Pringle and Madison.
I know you do.
I just feel like they're compatible. Like, I really do.
And I'm also, like, even if I did ship them at one point, like, I'm worried because now, like, Pringle has seen, like, this side of Madison where she is, like, really hard on Austin. I think personally, deservedly so, the way that he was behaving from the moment he showed up. Like, first of all, don't come if you say you're not going to come. And if you are going to come, let someone know so that there's a place setting for you.
And then don't get mad, like, when someone, when the person whose seat you took needs their seat back.
Right. And like, you come, you don't have a seat, like, just be grateful for any seat that you're given. Not like, this one's in the sun. Like, he was just being such a baby and like, so such a spoiled brat, honestly. And that's just not how you invite when you're an invited guest. Oh, that's not how you act when you're an invited guest. And it's definitely not how you act when you are not invited anymore.
Completely 100% agree. To be honest, I really felt like in a lot of ways, Craig was really the voice of reason in last night's episode, because I felt like Catherine definitely has, like, a lot of conversations that need to be had with the women, but it's really a tough spot for her to be walking into because she doesn't know that Madison from Gwen's is even mad at her, and she doesn't know why Danny's mad at her. So Danny's literally talked to everyone in Charleston about it, very coherently, might I add, and never spoke about it to Catherine. So Catherine, like, is once again, like, tell me, and she just starts crying, and, like, I'm sympathetic because this friendship is obviously important to Danny, but, like, you can't expect Catherine to read your mind, and what you actually got out of your mouth was not substantial enough for the way that you've been, like, acting around Catherine.
100%. So either if that's really the reason why you're so upset, like, that doesn't hold, or, like, again, you did not articulate why you are upset, and, like, why is it so difficult? I understand, like, it's hard to have hard conversations, 100%. But she's at ease having them with everyone else.
Yes.
And now this is her third attempt, because Catherine came to her house, she couldn't do it. They spoke on the beach, she couldn't do it. They spoke on the beach again, and she came back with, you said you were lonely, but I'm here for you.
Yeah, no, that just makes no sense. Like, it doesn't add up. And I understand Catherine, like, literally being like, I literally don't understand what you're talking about. And for me, like, I feel like this group of girls who have come together, kind of like commiserating over their dislike of Catherine, ended up just being like a little too mean. Like they were just like finding fault in everything Catherine did. Like Catherine coming late with Craig, like, what does she need, a bodyguard? Like, yeah, obviously she knows everyone in there, like, is talking shit about the embarrassing thing she did. Like, of course she would want a bodyguard. So, like, I just don't understand, like, when you're mad at someone, like, you just get mad at them for weird things, like taking the boat with Craig.
Yeah, no, but that's what you do when you're mad at someone. Yeah. And then, like, when they were like, you should separate Craig sitting next to Catherine.
Right, like, because, let's isolate her.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But, like, Catherine does need to have those conversations.
100%.
She needs to, like, be mature and, like, look people in the eye and say what she needs to say and not, like, think that this is all going to go away. But I think she must be confused as to, like, why Danny's so mad at her. And, like, Danny's the maddest.
Yeah. And I think, right? Yes. But I think she definitely knows, like, what's going on with Madison from Gwen's. Because, actually, I think Catherine's mad at Madison and Madison's mad at Catherine. They both think that the other could have handled, like, the public emoji scandal better. So, like, honestly, those two need to have a conversation because that's, like, a legitimate argument to have with a friend. But like what's going on with Danny makes no sense.
Yeah, I agree.
And then we have the boat. And to be honest, like when we first were introduced to Leva, I immediately liked her. Then I felt like she was really kind of spearheading these conversations about Catherine and the emoji, which I felt like were really important conversations. But then she was being like a little fake to Catherine, like making Catherine think that like Leva liked her when it's very clear like Leva doesn't like her, you know?
I'm not sure. I feel like I was watching the scene when they walk back to the boat and like Leva was giving Catherine like some good advice. And so I feel like she is trying to like give her advice and be there for her sort of. I don't get the vibe that like she's completely written her off and I don't feel like she's a fake person. But I see what you're saying.
It does appear to be fake. Like when the whole first half of the episode, she's like getting together with girls to just like talk shit about Catherine. And then she's like rubbing Catherine's back and being like, just, you know, giving her advice before the boat. Like it feels insincere.
I hear you.
But then the boat was just crazy. And honestly, everyone was at fault.
Yeah, I think they were all like so drunk. They were literally drinking whole bottles of wine and then like while they were getting on the boat, like
pouring them into cups.
Because they're all just telling each other to shut the fuck up. Even though like Austin, I mean, I think Austin was like just on another planet.
The whole day.
Of being wrong all day and him getting involved in the conversation that had nothing to do with him. Like he's wrong.
He was wrong for that. But then Leva took it to another level. She took it to another just like telling him to shut the fuck up three times, which is just like a main thing to say. But then like Madison getting involved, like everyone just started turning around. And the only person who wasn't getting involved was Catherine, who like the whole fight was about.
Right. Exactly. Which is just funny.
So it was just like a messy episode, but it was actually a really good episode. And I'm surprised again that the finale is already next week, but I'm not mad because
it's a two-part finale. So that's like two episodes.
I guess. And there's two reunions. So like we still have four more episodes.
Yeah.
Shep and Taylor are like actually the cutest couple and they're just like, leave me out of this. Like we have matching towels and matching bathing suits. Like I'm out of here. And like, that is like the vibe I wish to accumulate like on every group trip moving forward for the rest of my life.
100%. And I feel like for one of the first times, like Shep is like realizing why it's so great to be in a relationship because you just like have a buddy to go exempt yourself from this conversation with. And like, let's go put our feet in the water and jump in. Like, let's go have a good time.
Right.
And that's like one of the major pluses of being in a relationship.
Because if it were last year or any other year, Shep would have been like right in the middle of all the Craig and Austin drama, all the Danny and Catherine. Like he just loves to put himself in the middle. And I think that him being in a relationship is actually really good for him.
Yeah, no, I'm very much here for it, and she seems really sweet.
So this weekend, I'm just going to watch RuPaul. I think it's on tonight or Sunday. I can't remember which night, but I haven't watched the first episode of the season, so I'll watch that, and I'll talk about it a little bit on Monday for any of my drag queen steens.
Nice. I'm going to finish Bridgerton. I'm going to catch up on, like, any old, like, housewives that have happened so that I'm ready for next week, and I feel like there's so many more things that I need to watch, like, and maybe some Ina if I can handle it.
If you can squeeze her in.
if I can stomach it.
True. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And honestly, after a terrible week, just enjoy your weekend, stay safe, and just have a drink, put your feet up. And thanks again for being a toaster. You guys all sound like beautiful, stunning, and smart queens who have amazing taste in podcasts, comedians, and influencers. We hope you guys have an amazing, amazing weekend. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Jackie, I believe I can announce that we will be back in studio on Monday, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So Jackie and I will be back on YouTube doing our video and audio podcast starting Monday. So make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel, just youtube.com/morningtoast. Premium content at every turn. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.